As we've covered before, Elon Musk is going after Christopher Nolan and The Odyssey, the modern retelling of the Greek mythology. Well, it turns out, ladies of The View, they don't like Elon for doing so. And Hollywood, they're joining right in, circling the wagons, trying to do anything and everything they can to stop criticisms online of Christopher Nolan's modern Homer. There's just one huge problem. They're using Rachel Zegler to defend. No, really. Hello, folks. Hello, friends. Welcome back yet again. It's your friendly neighborhood pro bringing you the Hollywood info you need to know, and doing so, folks, with a zeal that even the Hollyweirds can feel. As we dive in, click that like button, smash that subscribe, and tell all your friends, your neighbors, your mom, your dad, the dog, the cat, anybody you can find, hey, the Pro Channel, that's where it's at. Hollywood is in full defense mode when it comes to The Odyssey by Christopher Nolan. Of course, we did not consider that there would be a war between Elon Musk and Christopher Nolan. That wasn't on the bingo card for this year, but it's here. And now Variety has stepped in. But I'm going to tell you, I think they've stepped in. I don't think they understand the market. So either they're trying to poke the bear, or they just don't get society at large. Marvin Montanaro writing this one. Variety defends The Odyssey. And how did they do it? By comparing it to Snow White, Disney Star Wars, and Rings of Power. Bold move, Cotton. Says Variety is running defense for Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey after days of online backlash surrounding the film's controversial casting choices and increasingly bizarre production decisions. But in an attempting to shield the move from criticism, the entertainment outlet may have accidentally reinforced exactly why so many fans are concerned in the first place. In a lengthy opinion piece published this week, Variety writer Marlo Stern framed criticism of The Odyssey as nothing more than another chapter in Hollywood's ongoing cultural war battle. War battle? Okay, we'll go with that. The article opened with the following line. Quote, from the team that brought you Why is Snow White Latina? Why are there black people in Rings of Power? And Star Wars has gone woke, comes the latest online onslaught against an anticipated Hollywood project that committed the unfathomable sin of having a diverse cast. Now, I don't know if they're trying to destroy this film or what. Variety goes after Elon Musk, but listen, there are ways to defend. This is the worst of them. If you gave me 100 choices on how to stop this, this would be at the bottom in every possible way. Christian, why in the world would the trades cite Zegler? That's a public failure. You can pretend with the Rings of Power. You can, like, nobody knows the ratings, but everybody on this earth knows Zegler is a bust. So why must they do the comparison?
It's a head scratcher. I will say that Marlo Stern is a name I recognize. I think he may have been writing for the Daily Beast at one point. He is a hard left ideologue. So he just may be kind of going guns a-blazing and got the permission of his editors to put out this content. It is shocking. Listen, if I want to defend the movie, I would say Nolan's got a great track record as a right-leaning person. You know, movies like The Dark Knight Rises weren't exactly liberal in any sense of the word, and you have to trust him. But I think we've also seen artists who are within the Hollywood ecosystem, even if they're right or center right or just plain old center, they drift. And I wouldn't be shocked to see if Nolan is drifting a little bit to the left with some of these casting decisions. Also, we don't know everything yet, and a lot of it is still shrouded in mystery. So I think we should kind of, you know, hold our powder dry for a while. But spider senses are tingling, and I can't blame them for doing that, because this is starting to, something's coming here. And maybe Variety knows more than we do about the finished product. Maybe that's why they're going to the battle stations.
Well, Christian, what do you think about the, because some people are saying that this is the only way for him to make a film that's about Western, well, the start of Western civilization. This is the only way for him to make it award capable, right?
It's very possible. I mean, you know, a guy like Nolan is going to have his favorites. He's going to have his favorite crew members. And it's possible they don't check those identity politic boxes. And maybe this is how he's going to do it. That's a very real possibility.
Well, boys, we got to go to an authoritative source in all this, okay?
Oh, no.
Sorry, Lauren. I'm sorry, Christian. Jonas, I'm sorry for you too, mostly for you. Okay. We don't have it here, okay? We're not the kind of experts to weigh in. Mm-hmm. How about The View? Literally, folks, within just a short period of time before the show, well, actually during the show, The View weighed in on The Odyssey. Here's what The View has to say about Christopher Nolan and people like Elon Musk. There
racism
we go.
Racism rears its ugly head often on and more often now than ever, I think, in our country. But if you are a student of history, you know that scholars have debated for decades the extent to which Greek mythology and civilization were influenced by ancient Egypt and North Africa. It is very clear that Andromeda is described.
Hold on a second. I'm not a learned man, okay? I'm not learned. I wasn't aware that the Egyptians were of darker skin color.
Well, like, only when Eddie Murphy plays them.
I'm so confused, right? Continue on, Sonny.
Described as an Ethiopian princess. We have Othello, the Moor. The Greeks, this idea was also explored in a book called Black Athena. I think people should read it, which argues that classical Greek culture is heavily indebted to Afro-Asiatic and Near Eastern roots. I actually taught Greek mythology to eighth graders.
Uh-huh.
And so I...
Well, by golly, when I said she was an authority, I didn't know. To all the eighth graders out there who were more learned than we, congratulations on Miss Sunny being your teacher.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, this. So people...
Oh, no, Jonas, we're not done. There's more sunshine.
I thought she was done.
That are saying that Helen of Troy could not possibly be played by a black woman don't know history.
But what is it matter? Why not just not go anymore?
It's like when The Little Mermaid and there was this whole uproar. Yeah. Like, Elon Musk has multiple companies valued at over $1 trillion. How do you even have the time to worry about this?
Yeah.
But he also said that Christopher Nolan, one of the finest directors of our time, I would argue, just wants the awards. He's got plenty of awards.
He sure does. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. All right, what do you guys want to do with that one? You want to have fun with that one?
That's fantastic. First of all, that they're white knighting for Christopher Nolan and at this point. Like, okay, great.
They really taught us a lesson.
Marvin Montanaro pointed out in his article that the literal translation of how Helen of Troy is described is white-armed, and that is a frequent term used in the Odyssey, talking about these women. So, okay, so I guess if we're getting literalist and trying to say that Athenians and Trojans can be black, then they have to have white arms. This is silly, and this is trying to turn a call for historical accuracy on some level, or even suspension of disbelief, to try to turn that into a race issue that is about excluding people. It's not about excluding people. It's about not being ridiculous. It's about calling out virtue signaling. You know, nobody likes to be told that they are wrong for not liking something. Mm-hmm. If you taste test something and somebody says, by the way, I'm going to be really mad at you if you don't like this, there's no chance that you're going to like it, but you may say that you like it. Forcing people into enjoying something is the worst way to get them to enjoy something.
So a couple of points here. First of all, the man who lands rockets and transforms the electric car industry essentially makes it actually be, you might like him, you might dislike him. I think he probably has an angle here. I think there's a strategy, and I think he's probably of higher intellect than The View. So I'm going to wait and see what Elon's up to. I think he's got a strategy here. The other thing I'll say is that Hollywood has created a system with this awards thing and the quotas and all of this stuff where the only thing that is considered not diverse are straight white dudes. And all we have to do is just think, okay, if you do a historical film or a mythological film set in Greece, you have to have people in that film who don't look like you would anticipate ethnically from that time period. But to show that the double standard that's been created by the system, let's say you had a film about Uganda, for example, and let's say that you decided, well, we're going to have Sydney Sweeney play a role in Uganda. The uproar would be incredible. So it doesn't take much to figure out that this is just a system that has been created that's illogical, and as a foundation of illogic, it takes us to these places, and then The View is forced to defend it with total crazy harpy nonsense.
Couple thoughts. One, listen, you need to put Zendaya in this film because she barely works. but I haven't seen her in years. So we need to kind of make sure that she's employed. That's one thing. Also, if you notice at the very beginning, I don't think we even focused on it. Sonny Hostin was saying that basically racism is worse today than ever before, which is as maniacal a statement as maybe has ever been uttered on The View. And that's saying something. It reminded me a little bit of John Mellencamp was on Bill Maher's podcast a year or two ago. And he's like, you know, by and large, you know, Blacks have it as bad during the slavery days today as ever before. I mean, just this sort of insane thinking about culture and race is an abomination. It really is. I mean, it's doing harm to the country. It's just, I mean, what could be more hurtful to America than saying that the Black rights have not had any progress in I don't know how many decades? I mean, it's just, it's so categorically dumb, even by the View standards.
And so to cite, I think this is apropos for what we're talking about, it's societal Sisyphus, right? So the idea is no matter how much progress you make, the boulder rolls back down the hill. Yeah. So if you try to aim for better race relations, we'll just self-destruct all that and start over again. And that's the message from the Hollyweirds. They never credit, you know, good people, hardworking people, people who are better than them. And this is what we learned in the Me Too era. This is what we learned in the Believe All Women era. When Hollywood suddenly discovered morality and then in about 24 hours created their own system of morality that was superior to all other forms and then looked down their nose at everybody who was acting better for the last 50 years, right? The farmer in Nebraska didn't have a special couch. He just went out and did what was right every single day. But Hollywood looks down and poorly upon him. So I think you're exactly right, Christopher. I think it's insidious what they do, right?
Christian,
it's insidious. I don't know what I said. Christian, it's insidious what they do in that they reset any progress that we make and they demand more and more.
The thing that they keep going for and the made up morality thing, I wonder if Me Too kind of broke the entire system in Hollywood that they all of a sudden realized they needed to have a moral code, but I say something that always hacks off the audience, but they don't have a moral code. They don't have God telling them what their morals need to be. So they're trying to come up with their own morals on their own. But it's such a kind of twisted place that all they've got is calling people out and there's no system of redemption that they've got there, especially with Marxism and race relations and all that. There's, you know, to say that race relations now are somehow worse than what they were pre-Civil War in the United States, mm-hmm. or the freeing of slaves across the world by Western nations. Yes, Western nations fought hard to get rid of slavery globally. In fact, invading other countries to get rid of it. So to try to say that before all of that was somehow comparable to some people being all up in their fields because of microaggressions is just patently absurd. And frankly, it should be offensive.
Also, I want to take this time to hand this particular topic to Lorne because he may have the least to lose in this. Lorne, if you fumble this, we'll just bring you back in about 3 months once the fury, you know, dies down. Lorne, there's also the issue of a masculine, traditionally masculine character being played by somebody who is perhaps not perceived that way today. Is that the best way I can put that?
I suppose.
Lauren, what do you think that this is kind of, it's sort of a trap too, right? This is begging for conservatives and centrists to weigh in a way that will draw out controversy for whatever reason. I mean, the Page situation, I think, is made just for this.
Yeah, and I think an argument could be made that maybe that's factored into why they're doing it. You know, if part of the argument is that it's to make them eligible for the award shows and things like that because of the practices of those award shows. Another factor is you've got to somehow differentiate yourself in the advertising. Some of that is generating controversy. Not that I think Christopher Nolan needs a lot of help to advertise his movies, but... You know, the old saying is any press is good press. And what they're getting right now is us talking about it, The View talking about it, a lot of people talking about it. Maybe if you're not familiar with the classics, this is a way to get you interested in this movie that
now,
you're
not familiar wait with a minute. The story. Lauren, hold on. All press is not good press. Zegler got a lot of press, and now this is what this is being compared to. Zegler got a lot of press, and it didn't change the box office. It may have hurt the box office, so I don't know if that's true anymore.
Yeah, also, this is a movie that had a lot of, I mean, almost uniformly goodwill heading toward its release date. It's Christopher Nolan. We've been you know, getting teases of it, the cast revelations. Everything about this has been full steam ahead. This movie will do quite well. Maybe not Oppenheimer well, but Christopher Nolan movies are now an event. And anything he does at this point is going to be huge. And I don't think they needed any of this. I think this is a huge distraction.
Yeah, I agree that it's a giant distraction. And the main question that I keep wrestling with in this conversation is, being as you would assume this would be a surefire hit no matter what, it's not worth the awards to me to tank your movie and your reputation. So what's the reasoning? I don't think that being eligible for the award shows is a sufficient reason for wanting to do this, but I'm struggling to come up with any explanation that fits.
Now, listen, it's not just being available for the awards. It's when a movie is Oscar nominated or even in the mix, the marketing, the exposure, the gravitas in Hollywood is profound. So if, you know, like the one View idiot said, oh, he's got all the awards, so it doesn't matter. No, it totally matters. A Christopher Nolan may be a very nice fellow, but he wants to be in the award mix every time he has a movie out. Absolutely. And if his movie's not in that mix, then it feels like a defeat in some way. He's expected to be making a consequential film every 2 or 3 years. And that matters. It's publicity, it's marketing, it's money, it's clout, it's gravitas, it's everything.
And it is time to put a bow on it for this one, folks. Is a gift to everybody who wants to know exactly what's going on in the entertainment industry. And we are so joyful that you were there to receive it. We hope that you had a great time. An attitude of gratitude on this channel every single time you decide to spend time with us. As we get ready to say goodbye, we only ask a few simple things. Click that like button, share, subscribe, click it, and stick it to those algorithms. It is the notification bell. Drop a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, so waste not yours. And folks, as you get ready to head out that door, do you have a place on social media that you love to share this sort of thing? Hey, you can make this YouTube video sing by putting it out there for your friends, your family, and for those weirdos who just won't leave you alone. Folks, until the next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep having fun.